Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
I'm Gail Duffy, and I'm a deacon serving here at Christ the King Anglican Church. And those of you that know me know I like you to actually engage with me when I'm preaching. If I ask a question, I do kind of expect an answer. I got it. Thanks, honey. Well, maybe not from him. Okay. My husband. Anyway, let's take a look at today's gospel lesson from Luke. You can grab your bulletin. It's on page 7. Should have just been on it. And here's my first question, maybe my last. Tom, you cannot answer. You know, he knows the answer. Give me some names. Who is featured in today's gospel lesson? Give me some names. Simeon. Who else? Mary. Anna. Jesus.
And the Lord.
Anyone else? All right. Looking at verses 25 to 27 in particular. Holy Spirit, A plus in the back. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 3 times. Now hold on to that for a moment, and we will come back as I go through the story. We'll come back to the Holy Spirit as I go through the story. All right, beginning at verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. All right, so here we have two Jewish ceremonies combined. The first one is purification of the mother, Mary, after the uncleanness of childbirth. And that's mentioned in Leviticus 12. And the presentation of Jesus and the redeeming of the firstborn son is the second ceremony. So for the purification of Mary, the mother, after the uncleanness of childbirth, it is written, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. Then she shall continue 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. Now this would have been something that all devout Jews would do. And in the case of a baby boy, Mary, the mother, went to the temple 33 days later for her purification. That's when the baby was 40 days old. The second ceremony was the presentation of Jesus and the redeeming of a firstborn son. And that's found in Numbers 18, which Luke is quoting here in verse 23. The presentation of Jesus at the temple was to fulfill the law. There's supposed to be a payment made, but Luke didn't mention one. However, for the purification, he does state that Mary's offering was a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And mention of this matters. According to Leviticus, a year-old lamb is the preferred offering. But if you could not afford a lamb, you were permitted to bring a pair of doves. Now, because Mary and Joseph have always been faithful and obedient to what God has called them to do, we can be sure they weren't trying to cheap out by bringing a couple of doves. They must not have been able to afford the lamb for the offering, and that points to their economic status. They are a poor family, and this in turn points to the humility of our Lord Jesus. Our King and Savior could have come into the world any way he wanted, to any family he wanted, and he chose this. It also shows what Jesus values. He values obedience over riches, always. Jesus tells his disciples at the Last Supper, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Obedience matters. Now, none of what we've read so far is particularly remarkable. Lots of families would have come to the temple and had the same 2 ceremonies. But the story becomes memorable beginning at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation or hope of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Okay, this is where I want you to see the action of the Holy Spirit. I didn't make a mistake. Simeon, a righteous and devout Jew, had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, before he died. And he came by the Holy Spirit to the temple at that time. It wasn't good luck or by chance. Simeon was obedient to the Spirit's leading. God chose him to deliver a message. And let's hear it now, continuing in verse 29. Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon knows to see Jesus was to see God's salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And we should be marveling too and thanking God. God kept his promise to Simeon. He was seeing the Savior. Reminder to all of us, God always keeps his promises. Amen. Amen. Then he says, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. Now, does that seem pretty shocking thing to say, considering how Jews and Gentiles feel about each other? Yeah, it really does, right? And on top of that, they're at the most holy of Jewish places, the temple. And Simeon, a devout Jew, proclaims Jesus will bring light and salvation to the Gentiles. However, God has been pretty clear that his salvation plan, or I like to call it his rescue plan, through the Jewish nation included all nations, even as early as the call of Abraham. And I'm quoting Genesis 12:3 here. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We see it again in Isaiah. In addition to restoring Israel, the role of God's servant will be a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And what good news that is for us. But there's more. Who knows what often comes after good news? Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Okay, I ask you, what mother wants to hear that? Bummer. Talk about the worst spoiler alert. Imagine, Mary, you're looking at your beautiful 40-day-old baby, and you're hearing this. But we know what is spoken is true. Jesus was opposed by most of the Jewish leadership. He and his message were divisive to the powers that be then and now. And it was his own people who handed him over to the Romans and demanded that he be crucified. And it must have been like a sword piercing Mary's soul when her son Jesus died on the cross. This day, which we're remembering, the 40th day after Jesus' birth, is still one to celebrate. But it's also a day pointing toward Good Friday. Continuing in verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna also recognized the baby Jesus as a Savior, the one she had been fasting and praying for faithfully. So we have two witnesses, Simeon and Anna, both devout Jews, both senior citizens, both prophets, both obedient, both seeking and serving God, both giving thanks and spreading the word about God's plan of salvation, both recognize the light of the world. He was here, and the redemption of Israel was going to play out in the life of this baby, Jesus. God chooses to use people he knows will be obedient. Joseph, Mary, Simeon, Anna, and most of all, God knows he can trust his son, Jesus. Philippians 2:8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We must always be thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that we can be reconciled with God the Father and have eternal life with him. We must always be thankful first and foremost for our salvation. But I hope we also don't neglect the gift Jesus gave us in the Holy Spirit. With this being a new year, when many of us make resolutions, I want you to reflect with me on a few verses from Paul's letter to Ephesians, verses 13 and 14. In the opening chapter, Paul presents God's rescue plan in and through our King Jesus. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Our salvation or rescue isn't solely about us, really. Our rescue is to be for the praise of God's glory. Our rescue is not without purpose or responsibility. Our rescue is to bring glory to God our King and to tell about him. In our gospel today, the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon at a particular time for a particular purpose. And that's the way we see the Holy Spirit acting before the day of Pentecost. Part of God's rescue plan was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, Jesus promised to send us a helper for this often difficult and painful life. Today, who are Christians, have the Holy Spirit living in us and available to us at any time. More good news? Jesus is still rescuing lost people and transforming their lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out. I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit like Anna and Simeon. This Christmas, our church had the opportunity to donate bedding to the Victory Men's Outreach Home in Escondido. And this Christian recovery home is a place for those battling addiction or mental illness issues or trying to escape from a gang life because maybe they had a brush with the law and they want to make a change. Okay, thank you to all in the congregation that gave generously. We had a lot of bedding to take over there. It was much appreciated. So Tom and I, my husband and I, joined Sue and Larry Rello, and we went over to the Victory Men's Home, where we also met up with two women from Branches of the Cross Anglican Church, our sister church in Vista. They're the ones that let us know about this possible outreach. And we met up with them, and we began talking to the men. And one young man, I'll never forget this, He appeared to be in like his maybe late 20s, early 30s. It's really hard to say. And we were talking with him, and he was saying that he had a job, and then he had a mental health issue, didn't take his medication or something of that sort, and he lost his job, and he had been out on the street for a year. And he said that he had been at the men's home for 8 days, just when we were meeting. He'd only been there 8 days. And one of the ladies from Branches asked him, "Did you find them, or did they find you?" And he said, "They found me." Do you see that? God's rescue plan is still happening right here in North County, San Diego. His rescue plan includes all of us Christians doing our part, not from guilt or a false belief that we have to earn our salvation, rather from listening to and being obedient and following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Okay, back to New Year's resolutions. I felt so inspired by what Victory Outreach was doing. The leaders there, they insisted on praying for us and praying for you, the congregation. And they prayed and asked the Lord to bless us. And they prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was beautiful. Just ask me, Tom, Larry, we can testify. And I'm testifying now. It was so beautiful. I would still be there if my daughter hadn't texted me and said she was at my house and I had to leave. Because it was so real and powerful, the work that they were doing there. And we prayed for them as well. But that time at the Victory Outreach was my moment closest to Christ during the holidays. And when we got back in the car after walking out of the home, Tom and I got back in our car, and Tom says, "Those guys are doing hard work. They're making a difference. They're part of God's rescue plan. They are to the praise of His glory." We serve a God who would come to us as a vulnerable baby, a baby who is a king. As His beloved daughters and sons, can we be to the praise of His glory? My only New Year's resolution this year is to be a better listener, both to God's Holy Spirit and to His beloved people. And since resolutions rarely work, what I really mean is, it will be my prayer that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God being my helper, I will be a better listener and have the courage to act on what I hear. As you look forward to this year, remember that God's rescue plan includes you, your family, your neighbors, people experiencing homelessness, people you don't like, even people who have different lifestyles or political views than you. And I pray that you will want to participate along with me in asking the Holy Spirit how we can be part of God's rescue plan for reaching those in our community who need His transforming love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy, help us to be obedient like Joseph and Mary and Simeon, Anna and Jesus. Help us to be attentive to Your voice. Grant us a fresh filling of Your Holy Spirit and transform our hearts to be more like Yours. I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.